There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along and easy for you to be part of the show. With a call or a text, both coming in to 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Or you can always drop us a message, a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. When you're on there, you'll see that microphone icon. If you press it, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. All right, and I was going to start off, and we will come back to the qualifying because some new names just showing up in, you know, the special election to come up in August and who's getting qualified. That has to be done by 5 o'clock this afternoon. But first, on a national level here, this is just coming in. I'm seeing it from Catherine Herridge. Over, is she still at Fox News? I think so. Maybe not, but she was at one point. So I follow her on Twitter or X, and this just came up. It said, based on my reporting, well, here, headline. Let me bury the headline. Strong indicators CIA was tracking DNI Gabbard team emerged months ago. And also, not to bury the lead, what's just breaking now is the resignation of Tulsi Gabbard. So this is just now happening. So the resignation is within the last minutes here, but this story, and there were others here. This is just the one that kind of came to the top for me from Catherine Herridge. It said, based on my reporting, it was well known in national security circles that the CIA investigative unit had sent emails to several members of DNI Gabbard's Director of Initiatives Group. Of course, it's got an acronym, y'all. It's called DIG. Demanding they come in for questioning. While the CIA unit routinely... Now, remember we talked about this, what, last week or the week before, CIA getting documents from the office and not returning... getting them from DNI's office and not returning them? Kind of asked this question, too. This is CIA. It's operating inside the United States. Right? We had questions back then, so we'll keep going through this. It says... While the CIA unit routinely conducts polygraphs and investigations, the timing of the request was concerning. It did not appear to be part of a standard security clearance review. The alleged CIA monitoring of the Director Initiatives Group, remember the DIG acronym, was described as tracking every keystroke on their government computers and devices. While there's no expectation of privacy on government computers and users often see a login warning, it did not appear to be the routine counterintelligence work by the CIA. In recent testimony before the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, chaired by Senator Rand Paul, CIA Senior Operations Officer and whistleblower James Erdman alleged the CIA illegally spied on the computers and phones of the Director of Initiatives Group, along with their investigations and contacts with whistleblowers. So you got a CIA whistleblower, right? And he's telling in this committee, that the CIA was spying on not only the DIG group under DNI, along with their investigations and their contacts with whistleblowers. So the agency, the way I'm understanding what Catherine Herridge is reporting here, the agency that was being whistleblown on was monitoring the whistleblowers. Okay, it goes on to say, the DIG investigated, this group within DNI, investigated JFK, RFK, and MLK assassinations, the origins of COVID-19, Operation Crossfire Hurricane, the Biden administration's domestic surveillance, anomalous health incidents, and UAPs, UFOs for the rest of us. So this is what that group was doing. So they're doing RFK, JFK, MLK, COVID-19, Crossfire Hurricane, domestic surveillance, AHIs, and UAPs. And according to this whistleblower, the CIA is monitoring all this that's going on at another division. And I don't know the CIA can be operating inside the United States like this. Obviously, if this is all bears out, they are. Erdman, the whistleblower, provided detailed testimony about the DIG investigations into directed energy attacks known as Havana Syndrome and anomalous health incidents. A quote here. Erdman said this was not the first time the CIA appears to have been monitoring DIG communications. Individuals involved in our AHI investigation discovered third parties were listening in on secure phones at the intelligence community facilities. In one instance, it was during a conversation with a whistleblower. Oh, that's charming. These incidents were also reported in counterintelligence channels. DNI IT experts confirmed that reproducing what occurred on the secure phone calls required IT engineering work order. Someone had to request a technical change to the infrastructure, end quote. So this didn't happen upon this thing. So Catherine Herridge comes back here and the reporting says, during its investigation of AHIs, my reporting reveals additional allegations that the CIA denied DNI Gabbard's investigators access to key analysts and officials still working in the CIA building, as well as relevant, highly classified intelligence held in compartmented programs. I also understand the request to review the internal CIA correspondence communications regarding Biden-era AHI intelligence assessments, including whether intelligence manipulated and the findings were altered. Those were blocked. This is, I mean, so in the structure, and somebody could probably tell me where I'm missing it, but DNI outranks CIA, right? If we're looking at the three-letter groups here. Catherine goes on to report here, the Biden-era intelligence community assessments concluded it was unlikely that a novel weapon or a foreign adversary was responsible for the debilitating brain injuries suffered by spies, diplomats, military personnel, and some civilians, injuries that can lead to brain cell atrophy and death. Yeah, that Havana syndrome we've heard about. So it goes on, Catherine says, as I reported in February, a DIG report and findings into directed energy attacks, or AHIs, were finalized and prepped for release, but there was strong intelligence community resistance to revealing it. The report is still not public, and this week at Judicial Watch sued the federal government for the records. Based on reporting that DIG, DNI, Gabbard's Task Force into Weaponization and Politicization, found that the analytic tradecraft used by the intelligence community under the Biden administration was defective. So this is all this, and it goes on and on. About what Tulsi Gabbard at DNI and what her group, this DIG group, was doing, looking into these things that promised to reveal the JFK, RFK, MLK assassinations, right, into UAPs, into the Havana Syndrome stuff. The whole time this is going on, CIA, at least according to Catherine Herridge's report here, is investigating the DNI. And monitoring their phone calls with whistleblowers. Okay, so there's a little bit of backstory. And now it's out over the last minutes here that the national DNI director, Tulsi Gabbard, has resigned. So this is all I've got on it right now. But it's very interesting that the backstory here of what was going on. We've heard some of this, but now, this is, 14 minutes ago. Here we go. And here's a story behind it. It says and I'm not saying this is not true, but it does seem pretty interesting with the backdrop of what I just read to you. It said Tulsi Gabbard is resigning from her post of Director of National Intelligence to support her husband through his battle with an extremely rare form of bone cancer. Gabbard notified the president during a meeting at the Oval Office today. Her last day at ODNI is supposed to be June 30th, so the end of next month. And this is, so this comes from Fox News. They said they obtained her formal resignation letter in which Gabbard says she is deeply grateful for the trust you placed in me and the opportunity to lead the Office of the Director of National Intelligence for the last year and a half. She writes this to President Trump. Unfortunately, I must submit my resignation effective June 30th. My husband, Abraham, has been diagnosed with extremely rare form of bone cancer. That completely could be true. Goes on to say, Gabbard said her husband faces major challenges in the next coming weeks and months. At this time, I must step away from public service to be by his side to fully support him through this battle. Okay, so like this absolutely could be true. At the same time, with what I just said in the backstory, and seemingly the rift that had happened between President Trump and Tulsi Gabbard, too. This is of interest. All right, we'll get to the qualifying stories and a whole lot more in just a second. But thought that was pretty big news. Tulsi Gabbard, one of the people that brought the coalition together for Trump. And she's out. She's resigned.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:22, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And here on this Friday, let me check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And first of all, Anna, let's talk about coming up Monday. I know we have special programming around here. Are y'all going to be closed as well?
Yes, we're going to be closed for Memorial Day on that Monday. And we've had several people stop in trying to get extra cash for the weekend holiday, a three-day weekend. Yippee.
That's right. And this is the thing when we talk about precious metals prices and people think about, okay, well, I'm going to buy some silver and buying some gold. But y'all are also in the buying business. If people got scrap, like you said, y'all are buying.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, people don't think about what they have in their dresser drawers or wherever you keep your little pieces of jewelry that you either thought about repairing or think you'll find that hoop earring that disappeared or whatever, you know, or you lost or misplaced it. And people don't realize how much money they can walk out just with that kind of stuff that they've held on to for a decade, sometimes longer than that, you know. And, you know, it could be surprising. I can't really say. You know, it could be anywhere from $200 to, $1,000 or more. It just depends on what it is.
Yeah, you had somebody walking out. You and I talked earlier, and you said, yeah, somebody just walked out of here with over, they thought they didn't have anything, and they walked out of here with over $1,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, tell people how to find you.
We are at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. You can also find us on Facebook, on our website, mobilebaycoins.com, or you can call the shop phone number here is 251-725-1590 and speak to me directly.
Thanks, Anna.
You're welcome.
All right, there goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And we'll get to some of these texts and then the qualifying stuff and come back to this Tulsi Gabbard story as well. Oh, cool. Pat sent me, got you on the loudspeaker today. Showing me what you're working on, Pat. You're working on something. I don't know what I'm looking at the underside of. That's interesting. I love it when I get pictures of people on the job, what y'all are doing. Let's see. This from Joshua said, Trump burns a lot of people. Also, Trump is or was a Democrat. Tulsi is or was a Democrat. RFK is or was a Democrat. Musk is or was a Democrat. And before that, a socialist. Worst looking bunch of Republicans I've ever seen, except for Tulsi, of course. Back to there was a little telegraphing, I guess it was last week or week before, something to that effect, that everything wasn't great in Whoville, right, between Gabbard and the president. Now she is, and once again, I don't think she's making it up that her husband has bone cancer. I don't think that's a, but she said that's why she's. That's why she's resigning, which is, I mean, could be legitimate. It just, the timing also is odd with how the CIA has been treating DNI. And further in Catherine Herridge's report said, in response to my new reporting, this is Herridge talking, Catherine Herridge, in response to my new reporting and questions, an ODNI official said, We have confirmed that the Intelligence Community Inspector General is aware of the allegations and is working alongside ODNI and interagency partners to uncover the truth about any potential wrongdoing. End quote. CIA official also said the agency has, quote, been and will continue to be supportive of any IG investigation into past conduct by CIA on this issue. End quote. But it just, I mean, the whistleblower said, like, while the CIA in a way was being investigated by this DIG group under DNI, they were monitoring, which we didn't expect. I mean, you know, once an intelligence operative, always one, right? But monitoring not only what this group from DNI was doing, but they were also monitoring and listening to the calls of the whistleblowers that were whistleblowing on the CIA. An official disputed allegations that the agency has frustrated the investigation by DNI Gabbard's team. Quote, CIA worked to provide DIG with access to information responsive to the executive orders prior to its disbandment by the DNI. Okay, so that's where it stands now. It leaves me with some questions, but I guess I shouldn't have even refreshed on Twitter or X, where people are like, well, we didn't make up bone cancer for her husband. The timing is, the timing can make you go, whoa. But I mean, this is not something like you make up. Oh, he's got a stomach ache. Let's see here. Michael says, also the rare form of bone cancer Tulsi's husband has stinks, but it definitely was a convenient reason for the retirement. Yeah, so I mean, I can ask that second question, Michael. We're on the same page, but I did see somebody go, like, they made it up. They're going to make something up. They're not going to make up he has bone cancer. You know, I don't believe so. Also, updating here. Let's see if there have been any changes. I am watching, like Jeff was, watching the qualifying. They have till 5 o'clock today. So now, you know, this starts the new congressional election in the redrawn districts, now through August 11th, right? So who's in, who's out, who's going where? You know, people that were in two, are they running for one, and one running for those things. So who is qualified here in AL1? I know that everybody's taking calling it CD1. I get it, Congressional District 1. I'll just be a pain and call it AL1. In AL1, who is now qualified, like I said, something could happen. They still have till 5 o'clock today. But Lucas Berger, Jerry Carl, John Mills, Austin Sidwell on the Republican side here is who's qualified. Over in District 2, Hampton Harris, Rhett Marquez, Joshua McKee. There's three-way in that. Up in 6, Gary Palmer, the incumbent, is qualified. Case Dixon is in. And in 7, which I don't know, this, you know, what kind of chances we have here, this would be to be running against the incumbent and in the drawn 7th, Terry Sewell, Amy Aiken, and David Perry. It is interesting, too, and I know this is not, shouldn't be used as the only litmus test for how serious a campaign they are, but the way ALGOP, Alabama GOP, has their, they have a running website for showing you who's qualified throughout the day today, right? And next to the name of the candidate, it has the little linky boxes, right, to go to their Twitter feed or their X feed, their Instagram, Facebook website, right? Like, you scroll over and you can hit all their socials to, you know, see about. There's a couple like these two that I just listed that were running on the Republican side in 7. They don't have anything. It's just their names. Lucas Berger in 1 doesn't have anything. Now, maybe that changes by the end of the day, but, you know, are those people that said, the heck with it? You just got a, you know, couple beers at lunch and said, you know what? We ought to see if we can qualify and get in the mix. It is, but it will be done as of 5 o'clock this afternoon. Then next week, we'll be talking about the actual names that are qualified, and we'll look at both sides, you know, Republicans and Democrats in AL1, AL2, and pay a little bit of attention to far-flung locations of our state, like AL6 and AL7. All right. And Killer B says, Tulsi and Joe Kent both have too much integrity to remain in an administration that has been compromised. But just the... I hope, you can hope in one hand, but I mean, I hope that we get to the bottom of the fact that, at least according to the whistleblower's allegation, that while DNI was looking into things CIA had done, CIA was monitoring the DNI investigation and also their calls with the whistleblowers. That's got a stink on it, doesn't it?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Update here weather-wise, National Weather Service here in Mobile issued a flash flood warning, including Chunchula and Sims. That goes till 3:30 this afternoon. Also, this special weather statement issued for Tillman's Corner, Theodore, and Grand Bay. That's going on with a wind advisory and up to 40-mile-per-hour winds in this. Also, we're getting from the Aldot cams, reporting from Leanna. Thank you. That the old, we were talking about the Causeway the other day. You know, if we're going to, people are going to be avoiding going on a tolled bridge and going on the Causeway, all the improvements will have to be done to the Causeway. But the same old thing's been happening almost, I think, ever since I could drive and pay attention. Got a south wind. We got rain. I don't look at the tide. I hadn't looked at the tide chart, but we're probably near some part of high tide. That puts water on the Causeway. That means the eastbound lanes of the Causeway there, like at the foot of Chocolata and where the ramps come off. So they are diverting traffic there as well. So it's a rainy Friday, and we'll keep our eyes on it. And hopefully you pack your rubber boots or whatever you got to do to make it through. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we talked to this story that I saw this morning. This happened this afternoon. I saw the story this morning over at LandyAtMobile.com. And it's a story that I remember was talked about here at the radio station yesterday afternoon. There was a decision on the case with Harry Still, and Harry Still joins us now on Midday Mobile. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm good. So I think I want to do this here for people that I think a lot of people know about this story. It was talked about a bunch, but before we do, can we kind of go back and lay out this situation of back in September?
Well, I think you have to go back further than that, and you have to start with Backstory Podcast number one, which was 6 years ago in 2019. And immediately after doing the podcast about the sheriff's confidential informant that died by hanging himself with a seatbelt, I had that deposition of the deputy in hand for 2 years and had to wait for the case to settle. So then I thought maybe something would happen, an investigation would happen internally. It did not. And so my security pass was revoked on the word of the mayor of Bay Minette and the police chief. They went to the sheriff and said, Mr. Still has approached us acting aggressively and erratically. And so
the security pass, so that's what you let you, cause you're an attorney. That's right. That's what lets you go to work, right?
Well, it lets you bring your laptop in, and you know, unless it's 1975, every lawyer walks in there with a phone and a laptop, and you have to conduct business while you're in the courthouse. So yeah, it handicapped me.
Okay.
So I appealed to the courthouse security committee. They didn't know they existed, so they met without me, and Judge Taylor decided, we're going to do this to Harry and slander him. So I went about for 6 months not being able to bring my stuff into the courthouse, handicapping me and my client. So I finally get it back, and then the sheriff, we have COVID, and the sheriff, you know, I can't go to work, but the sheriff says, you know, that pesky little safer at home order, y'all just come on down to the beach. And if you die, Mac Funeral Home will take care of your poor remains for you. You see my problem with it? So I sued the sheriff. So that got my security pass revoked again. I filed an ethics complaint against him, and he gave it back, and the ethics commission did nothing. So then I sued Tom Albritton in Montgomery County, right, for self-dealing in the Mabel Amos Trust. I mean, just saying that I'm a problem for everybody in office might be an understatement, okay? So we can start there, Sean. Okay. Now we can move on up to September.
Let's move up to September. Because, I mean, the way the narrative goes is that you and Bay Minette City Councilman Matt Franklin were in a political...
Bay Minette City Councilman Matt Franklin and I started fourth grade kindergarten at the Baptist Church here in Bay Minette. We graduated from high school together. We went to Auburn together. I dated his wife before he did. I was in their wedding. I gave a send-off party for his daughter in 2019 before she went to Auburn. We've had bigger, and, you know, everybody that knows me and knows you that say, how you and Sean Sullivan don't go hunting and fishing together, right?
Yeah.
So guess how many arguments that we've had with loaded guns in our hand that were much more heated than any of this. So anyway, flying the ointment and
yeah. What happens? I think it was said it was an argument about politics.
Okay, so the owner of his company had a lady who had a terrible lease that was drawn up by another attorney, and they said nobody in this county will sue this other attorney except Harry Steele. So let's recommend Harry to the client. That's why I went by there. I was writing a recommendation letter to a client of ours in common. And that was my business there. I didn't go in there hunting Matt Franklin. I didn't even know he was there. And by the way, my fiance worked at Delta Realty for 4 years. So it's kind of like somewhere I pop in and tinkle if I need to go in town. I mean, me going in that office is no big deal.
So what happened?
Okay.
So what happened?
Well, I go in there and I have Franklin's the only one there. And I have a conversation with Mark Furnett, the owner of the company. He gets him on the telephone, on speakerphone. And when he gets done, the elephant in the room is I ran for mayor. It was 5 years ago because they got an extra year in office. And when I was running for office, I tried to go see one of my clients. It was 10 days before the election. So I go to the police department to see two of my clients that just got arrested. And the police chief tells me I can't come in the building, that I can't bully him, that I've told everybody I was going to fire him. And he put his hand on his gun several times during this exchange.
Now, who is this again that told you this?
Al Tolbert, the chief of police. Please, at the for time in 2020. For Babinette, so anyway, right. He's the chief, right? So anyway, the new mayor is going to come in and change things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I supported him through the election. Mayor Wills is my dad's best friend, and Matt Franklin's dad's best friend. So that was kind of the, you know, he's out, and so, you know, I was kind of getting around to, well, you know, man, Bob's gone. You're on the council. Are y'all going to get rid of Tolbert? Are you going to get rid of Scotty Lewis? Are you, you know, and he, hell no, we're not getting rid of any of them. Who would you have doing it? And I said, well, I don't know, but it wouldn't be the Lollipop Guild. And that set him off. And I turned to leave. It's 30 feet from, he's sitting down on the other side of his desk. He tells me to get the F out. And I just kind of laughed. I said, okay, thanks, Matt. And here I go for the door. Well, as the jury heard on the audio, that they didn't know I had. He comes screaming out of his office, bum rushes me at the door, tries to throw me out the door. Instead, down goes Franklin. I put him in an arm bar and make him say uncle. And he's embarrassed about it. So I leave there. I've just been in the courthouse. So I go back across to the courthouse and I go to the deputies and I say, hey, and I walk in, there's all this construction going on. When I walk in, my shirt's torn off and my mouth is bleeding. And the deputy looks up and he goes, dude, did you get hit by a car? And I laughed and I said, no, a city councilman. But there was no animosity. You know, he's like, I said, I need a deputy. I wasn't going to press charges. I just wanted to report it. So anyway, and I left out the part about him strangling, grabbing my dog and trying to kill my dog. So,
yeah, and, I've, anyway. And it seems like, but this has come up in it, that he's threatening to kill your dog.
When he got up, he said, I'm going to kill that dog, Harry Steele, and I'm going to kill you, cold-blooded as hell. And I'm sure when the jury heard it, they're just sitting there thinking, what the hell is this guy doing there as a defendant?
So what happened to this? Because you know this is on appeal, okay. And if y'all didn't hear, this is
Sean,
he was found
because these corrupt people are incompetent. Okay, the municipal prosecutor who lost this judicial race by 400 votes just did a nutcracker off the high dive. He was not prepared for this case. Why? Because my right to a speedy trial got trumped by the judge in this case, who said it 2 days after the election. Why? Because we all thought Scully was going to win, and Harry wasn't going to get a trial until September or October. So he shows up unprepared. He hadn't prepared Mr. Franklin, and my lawyer dismantled him on the stand. I didn't even have to put on a witness. And the recording that I had where he you know, my lawyer puts him up there and said, okay, we're going to listen to this thing again. And whenever Harry threatens you or you feel scared, you tell me and I'm going to stop this thing. And, of course, we listened to it all the way through. And I think the other things that I said in that recording endeared me to the jury, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And y'all, what we're talking about here is, like, so Harry was found not guilty yesterday afternoon of assault.
Let's back up for a second. I was found guilty.
Well, that's what I was saying. That's what I'm going to. Because this was an appeal. This was an appeal.
In December.
Yeah. So I was going to get to that. I'm saying you're found not guilty because a jury previously.
No. A municipal
judge. Sorry. Yeah.
Had said, Marcus McDowell, who can't see, who I've had, who I filed, let's see, two bar complaints against, and I can tell you that now because I'm not currently a lawyer. I wouldn't be able to tell you about it, see, because everything that happens to elected officials and lawyers are a secret. You can't know what happens unless there's some kind of discipline, and there never is. So Marcus McDowell, after I'd filed two bar complaints against him about the administration of justice in the Bay Municipal Court, doesn't recuse himself. And he finds me guilty, even though all of the witnesses recant their testimony. So how was I found guilty in municipal court? Because it was Marcus McDowell. That's why.
Did you have that same audio that you were playing yesterday?
Yes, sir.
Even with that audio, he found you guilty.
And that's why malicious prosecution on Mr. Scully's part, who knew he couldn't win this case and tried to offer me the sweetheart deal of a lifetime. But of course, Sean, I would have to sign something saying I was guilty of something I didn't do, which I would not do.
In exchange for what?
In exchange for 2 years probation and they with adjudication for 2 years. I'm just on double secret probation. The 2 years goes by, it goes in the garbage. But I have to sign an explanation of rights and an admission of guilt, which we call an Ireland form. And I have to write down on that Ireland form and sign it today to get the deal. That's what goes. And so if I screw up, they just go file my guilty plea. And we have a sentencing hearing. Do you really think I'm going to walk around this town with all the, you know, pianos falling out of windows on me? No, I don't think so. And thank God I had that recording. And thank God for a jury of my peers. Because, you know, Judge Sankofsky didn't do me any favors. And this is the third or fourth time he's done something like this.
Now,
to my clients in particular.
Okay, I was about to say, not to you.
Yes, to my clients, means me.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm making a living and my clients get a bad, you know, our case gets continued when we have experts lined up, you know, that kind of thing. This is the Ryan Peters case, if you want to look it up. Six attorneys at Stone Crosby should have all been disbarred over it. And the judge reversed himself after he ordered me to go do a forensic accounting of all the money that was stolen by their clients from mine. So anyway, I'm just saying there's a history there. I'm just prouder of the people of Baldwin County. There are good people here. And, you know, they're certainly not the people in charge around here. They'll wake up.
It didn't take long, y'all, if you haven't read through this yet, because the jury didn't exactly deliberate for one of these days of deliberation
stuff.
They
had time to elect a jury foreman and poll one time, and everybody must have just said, not guilty. And then they walked out. That's what we heard.
Harry, what's next now? Now you found not guilty. What's next for you in this? Putting it to bed or what?
Well, next is the request for an investigation into how something like this can happen to someone who's assaulted. And how, you know, Al Talbert was still the police chief. The election had happened, but the new mayor hadn't taken office. He hadn't fired Talbert, which he'd promised to do, and some other things. So it was Bob Wills was still the mayor. And you got to remember, when I came back home from being the city manager, going to hang my shingle up, Bob Wills begged me to come to work for him. And then he screwed me out of $350,000. So if you can just imagine how deep this ravine is between me and these people in power around here. And, you know, the problem is you know, I'm Judge Hall's grandson.
So
I'm this and that. I am Baldwin County. So,
my question for you then, I mean, because you just went on this narrative about being Baldwin County, but what are you going to, you moving? You going to stay there? What are you doing?
Well, it depends. I went to see Judge Taylor this morning and asked him, you know, if I get my security pass back, I get my license back, are you guys going to play tiddlywinks with my ability to make a living? Because if you are, I'll go be the best city manager San Diego, California ever had. I can do anything I want to right now. Why would I want to stay here and get beat up by Roscoe and Boss Hogg? I don't know that I will, but the people on this jury sure make me want to stay.
So the next thing is this investigation and then giving your clearance back.
There will be no investigation. Bob Wilters, the chief law enforcement officer, let me say this. I go over to the front door of the courthouse, and I say, I know you guys are busy. Would you call me a deputy? And I have my dog with me, so we went back outside. That's when I get surrounded by 7 Bay Minette police officers. They put me in handcuffs before they do any investigation. And do you know anything about the law, Sean?
I know some things. I feel like this is a set-up trap from an attorney.
Well, it's not a trap. It's just that under Alabama law, let's see what it says. Criminal Procedure, Section 1510.3. A warrantless arrest is valid. See, it was a warrantless arrest that the officer didn't witness. So my whole arrest was illegal. And then a lieutenant from the Bay Minette Police Department filed a writ. Okay, I make bond at 1 o'clock. I sit there till 4:30 and they tell me I'm not leaving. I'm like, what do you mean I'm not leaving? I don't know. You got to see the judge tomorrow. So they put me in solitary confinement in a filthy pair of clothes that are 2 sizes too small. And they wake me up every hour asking me if I've killed myself yet. So then they put me in shackles and perp walk me in front of the Baldwin County Courthouse where I go to my mental health competency hearing. Now, if you can imagine how I blew that little girl from Alta Point butt out of the courtroom when she sat down to talk, I was like, listen, honey, I've been putting people away in probate court for 15 years. You don't meet any of the predicate or requirements to even serve me. Who in the hell filed this thing? Lieutenant Jimmy Stransner of the Bay Minette Police Department says you're indigent, homeless. We don't know where your residence is. You don't have any next of kin, except they called my daddy who was dying of cancer and my sister who's dying of lupus and said I threw Matt Franklin on the ground and stomped his head into the damn sidewalk. Now, if that doesn't just make you mad, Sean, I don't know what to do for you. But, I've had to keep my cool. And I've had, this has been pretty tough, I'll have to admit. But now that I've been vindicated, I don't really want to tear anything down. I want to see something change. The judge that I was in front of, while I'm sitting there, I go out to my car, and there's a Lanyap article about himself dealing in real estate. Comes out while he's sitting on the bench staring down his nose at me. So, yeah, we need a new district attorney. We almost got a new sheriff. Some things are looking up. Danielle Duggar, a real bright light. Jeb Ball's no longer on the county commission. Another one of Hoss Mack's, constructs, I'll say. So, I have a lot to thinking to do, but I can tell you I already filed a verified statement of claim against the city. I did this March 4th. It was the last day that I could, because you have to file something within 6 months. So anyway, I go file this at City Hall, and Scully called my lawyer. His name is Clayton Tart, by the way. If you can afford him, he's a hell of a good lawyer in Tuscaloosa. So he calls Clayton and says, hey, the conditions of Harry's bond said he can't come to City Hall. And Clayton goes, what the hell kind of a communist country is this? A municipal judge can tell a lawyer he can't come to City Hall. He can't talk to any city employees or come on any city property. If I throw him in jail, see what the judge is going to do with him. So, just everything about this was trying to, ruin my business, ruin my name. And because I know where all the bodies are buried, because like I said, my granddaddy was on the damn county commission in 1973.
Harry,
he ran George Wallace's campaign. I've paid attention. I know what's going on. And, the fact that nobody likes me talking about it, really no concern of mine until it starts affecting my clients.
Gotcha. And we'll probably have to come back to this at a time in the future because they've run me right up here at the end of the hour. But, Harry Still, thank you for hopping on today. And y'all can read more about what we just talked about over at LandyapMobile.com. This happened yesterday in Bay Minette. Harry Still found not guilty.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's at 12:57, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Heads up, once again, this is from National Weather Service here in Mobile. Flash flood warning. Remember the turnaround, don't drown thing. Unless you're a Waymo car, like we had the story earlier in the week. But flash flood warning going on right now for Chunchula, like a line from Chunchula down to Sims. And there's training, where the shower's kind of going over the same area over and over again. That goes till 3:30 this afternoon. Also, a special weather statement issued for Tillman's Corner, Theodore, Grand Bay area. This goes on for another few minutes here. Wind up to 40 mile per hour gust in that. And then the traveling thing, Leanna may be aware of. You've probably seen it out there as well. If you're going on the causeway, you know where it floods, right? I mean, you get a south wind, which you have with these storms coming off the Gulf. You have a south wind, therefore you have low pressure usually, right? And the water comes up and I don't know what the tide's doing. I did not check the tide chart. Because I didn't get to go fishing today. But the water comes up over the causeway, and it's those eastbound lanes, the ones on the south side of the causeway, that flood, and then right there where the off-ramps and on-ramps are. So be aware of that. All right, we get a few of these texts in, if I can. And we come back, by the way, after the news. We're going to be talking about one of my favorite Americans, and never was elected. One of my favorite Americans, and not a president, not any of that stuff. But he did have a way with words. Let's see. Ben said, this guy seems a bit high-strung. C.B. Carl says, his story doesn't surprise me a bit in Baldwin County. That's why I wanted it so bad that we could have gotten a new sheriff. Sexter says, this guy is a nut. Tony says, sounds like he should write a book. Killer B says, dude, I love interviews like that. Always expose corruption. Billy D said, why would a story man... My goodness, if all that's true, I guess I have no reason to believe it's not, although it's just one side of it, and I've heard just one side of it that I've heard. Heck of a story. Jason says, sounds like the good old boy club and buddy system in Bay Minette is as bad as we have in Mobile County. Thanks for having him on. All right, coming right back. Hour number two.